Welcome. It is good to have you here to worship with you. Come, ye sinners. You know, it is really good for us to realize that Jesus is a friend of sinners, that he accepts us just as we are. He welcomes us. And if we will, as the song said, simply recognize our need for him, he will embrace us. He will take us in. That is seriously good news. Well, the word of the Lord as we begin this morning from John 14, verses 25 and 26 says this. These things, Jesus is speaking, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We have the Holy Spirit here with us. He dwells within us. He is near to us. He dwells within us. And he reminds us of all that we need to know, all that we need to draw close to the Father. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit is saying to you is if you have a cell phone, silence it. So that you're not an interruption to the rest of the church family as we worship together. Let's bow before our Lord today. Father God, it is a privilege to draw into your presence. It is a privilege to be able to realize that you call us to yourself, that you are the friend of sinners. Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving us and for accepting us, for choosing us in Jesus Christ. Lord, today, would your Spirit just have right of way? Would you accomplish all that you intend by your power, by your glory, by your grace in our midst today through the power of your indwelling Spirit and in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm actually going to back up and do a little bit more than what was in the bulletin. So we're going to begin with verse 12. And if I don't do anything else, I want to read this text to you. I think I'll probably get to more than that, but I want to read this text to you. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. Father God, thank you. These words are powerful words. And I thank you for the indwelling, empowering presence of your Holy Spirit that does sanctify us, that does cleanse us, that does make us holy. And Lord, I thank you that you are at work within us to will and to do, to accomplish good deeds to the glory of your kingdom. Father, I thank you that it's just a matter of us walking with you and cooperating with you. And so, Lord, help us to submit to your work. The work that you have promised to fulfill and to accomplish and to complete. Help us to willingly walk with you. In Jesus' name, Amen. So I backed up just a little bit to get the whole section there. And I always struggle, you know, whenever in the scripture it comes to a text that has that you're supposed to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you because that's me. And I don't like to draw attention to me and to what God has called me to do and things of that nature. And so I was going to just leave that whole section off and start with the rejoice always. But there's good in this passage, and I want us to hear these good words, and especially be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at harmony with one another. Don't be at enmity or at odds with each other. Be in harmony with one another. Working together. Cooperating together. Not allowing division and dissension to grow up among you. You know, one of the reasons that the world does not believe that Jesus is the Christ is because of our lack of unity, our lack of brotherly love, our lack of friendliness and compassion, and our unwillingness to forgive each other, and how we tend to hold people down and judge them. We have to stop doing that. In the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not about us. It's about God's work in us. Art was talking in the Sunday school class about God sometimes bringing people into our midst and into our congregation that we may struggle with. You know, it's not about whether or not you like each other. It's about whether or not you are willing to love each other. There is a huge difference there. You don't have to like someone in order to love them. And God did not ask us, He did not command us to like each other. He commanded us to love each other. And, you know, this is huge because love, remember, I'm going to go back to this definition over and over, and you should know by, in fact, who wants to give me my definition of love? Does anyone remember it? It's not my definition, it's God's definition, but who remembers where I'm going right now? Uh-oh. I haven't taught you enough yet, I guess. Debbie, love, give it a shot. Love your neighbor as yourself is the command, but what is love? How do we, when I say love, what is it? Joshua. Okay, the act of the will that seeks the benefit of, we'll say, another, regardless of cost to self. See, love is me doing what is in. Love is me doing what is in the best interest of the other, regardless of cost to self. Now, see, I can love people I don't like then, right? Because I don't have to like them. Because it's not about me. It's about God, and it's about them, and it's about me doing what is in their best interest, regardless of how I feel about it. Okay? Take people as they are and love them as they are. Accept them as they are. Meet them right there where they are. Love them at that point. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. And if we do that, then we will end up having a more harmonious, a more loving, a more good community to be in, one that reveals Christ. We will be at peace among ourselves. And then we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. You know, you need to be up and about doing something. Don't just sit around whining, moaning, and complaining, or gossiping and slandering. I mean, if you're just sitting around wagging your tongue, chances are good you're not doing what you should be doing. Get up, get on with it, get about, do something. You know, pray without ceasing and all those kinds of things. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. When we have brothers or sisters in our body that are feeling weak and vulnerable and frail, we should encourage them, come alongside and add strength and courage to them. Be patient with them all. Well, excuse me, I forgot. Help the weak. Come and support those who need it. Come alongside them, bolster them, lift them up. These are all things that we are to do. And I just want to ask, how many of you feel like, oh, this is easy? Could I see a show of hands? This is easy. I got this. It's hard, right? I mean, this is difficult stuff. I have good news for you. You don't have to do it by yourself. The good news that I have for you is that our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for our sins, did not leave us alone. He did not leave us to our own resources. He accepted us. He welcomed us in. He embraced us and pulled us to Himself. And then, you know, yes, He went to heaven, right? But He sent His Spirit to dwell within us and to empower and to energize us. One of the problems that we have is we try and do this on our own. We listen to all these things and we say, oh, I just can't do it. And that in and of itself is right. You can't. But God can. And God is willing. And God is able. And God will accomplish it. But you have to submit. You have to say, okay, God, I hear these things. I recognize they're for me. I don't like them. They're not comfortable. I'd much rather hang out with people I like. I'd much rather do the things I want to do. I'd much rather forget about this whole love and compassion and patience and forgiveness thing. But because you're God, and because you have asked it of me, and because you have paid the price in full on the cross of Calvary for me, I am going to walk in relationship with you, and I am going to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. So we go on, and part of that then is rejoice always. Rejoice always. When do we rejoice? That's tough, right? Rejoice always. How can you rejoice always? Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on Him. What has He given you? Everything you need for life and everything you need for godliness. Has He made good stuff around us? You know, when you start getting down, it's because you're looking at you and you're looking at your circumstances instead of looking at your God. Because God has given you lots. He's given you every good gift and every perfect gift. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Now, I just want to let you know that does not mean that you are going to be on your hands and knees, head bowed, hands clasped, praying without ceasing. That's not what that means. I mean, getting down on your hands and knees and praying to God is a good thing. It's a great thing. In fact, I'm going to make the altars available to you in just a few minutes to come and do that. But that is not the only way we pray. Have you ever gone on a walk with someone? Okay. I mean, there's no point in me going any further if the answer to that question is no. Right? As you walked, what did you do? Other than, you talked to them, right? As you journeyed, you practiced their presence. You were aware of them with you. Have you ever walked by yourself? Okay. When you walk by yourself, have you ever noticed how much farther it is? And how much longer it seems to get there? Now, when you walk with someone else, it seems like it's a lot shorter and it seems like you get there quicker. Why? Because you're not focused on the walk, you're focused on the person. You're talking with the person. Here's the thing that you got to get is that salvation is not a proposition. Salvation is not a belief system. Salvation is a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is that relationship. And just like you have human, earthly, horizontal relationships, this relationship works the same way. So when you walk with God. Talk to Him. Invite Him in. Be aware of His presence. Thank Him for the flower that He made, that He showed you, for the eyes that you have to see it. Thank Him for the the sound of the birds chirping. Thank him for the blue skies that you get to see. Thank him that you didn't just get run over by that crazy guy driving the Charger, that you were out of the way of that thing. That's for you, Peter. Thank him that everything is going well, that you have legs to walk, that you have things that God has blessed you with. You see, be intentional about practicing his presence and talking to him. And how many of you have gone on a walk with someone who was talking to you incessantly and you just couldn't get a word in edgewise? Okay, that's happened, right? How much fun was that? If the shoe fits. So the thing is, nobody likes to walk with someone that it's all about them all of the time. You know the country song? You know where I'm going? I like talking about you, usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me, anyway. You see, the thing is, none of us like to journey with someone where they have diarrhea of the mouth and you can't get a word in edgewise. Okay? We all want to journey in a conversation, give and take, back and forth. What makes you think that God wants to hear all of your miserable drivel all the time without you ever taking time to listen to what he has to say to you? Think about it. As you walk, listen. Practice the presence of God. Listening to him. Engage in the conversation. Be willing to hear what he has to say. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Have you ever had someone say, I wish I knew what God's will was? Take them right there. Here's God's will for you. Do this, and you will be practicing the will of God. It will be what he wants for them. And then we get to do not quench the Spirit, which is where I really wanted to be, and my time's up. When has that ever stopped me in the past? So I'm gonna spend a couple of minutes here, and then I may have to come back to it. Do not quench the Spirit. How many of you know just exactly what that is, and you know how you do it? Okay, Joshua, help me out. What's it mean? Okay, so when the Holy Spirit is leading you, you're on a journey with him, and you're walking side by side, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to do this, or I don't want you to do that. And you decide, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. Thank you very much, Spirit. You say, don't do that, I'm going to do that. You say, do that, I say, not so much. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. Have you ever been in a group of people and they all were getting really excited about doing something, and then somebody else just throws this wet blanket on the whole thing? You know what I'm saying, right? Someone says, nah, I don't want to do that. They just threw a wet blanket on that. What does throwing a wet blanket on it do? It quenches the excitement. It quenches the fire. It quenches the leading. Well, here's the deal. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and here's where everything breaks down in terms of talking about horizontal and vertical relationship, because when you're in a group and you're getting ready to do something, you may be deciding to do the wrong thing, and you may need someone to throw a wet blanket on it and keep you from going down that path. Because sometimes we human beings, we will go down the wrong path and we will make the wrong decisions, right? And so sometimes we ought to listen to the wet blanket instead of just going out and doing our own thing and saying, I'm going to get rid of this blanket. You go somewhere else. We're going to go have fun over here. But when we're talking about God, he never leads us astray. He never asks us to do anything that is not for our good and his glory. It may not be easy. It may not be fun, but it will be the best thing that we could possibly do. And when we say, not so much, We're quenching the Spirit. We're reducing the fire and the flame that's at work within us. Remember last week, the mighty rushing wind of Pentecost, the cloven tongues of fire that descended. One of the metaphors for the Holy Spirit in the Bible is fire. The fire that falls. And we don't want to be a wet blanket on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You can do that for other people around you. You can be that wet blanket. You can start quenching the Spirit in the midst of a body and in the midst of a group. That's one of the reasons why it's so important that we purpose to walk together, serving and seeking and trusting God. And every time the Holy Spirit convicts us, saying, "You're right, I'm wrong. Let me walk with you." So don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Okay, when I say that, don't despise prophecies, what are you thinking? What picture do you have in your mind? Do you have the picture of Revelation? The book of Daniel? You know, the prophecies that you don't understand anyway? And you're like, "I don't get that." Is that what you're thinking? Don't despise prophecies. Don't think little of. Don't. Let me help you with this. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. That's a prophecy. Whenever someone speaks to you and they are telling you what God says, they are telling you what God thinks, they are telling you what God wants, they are speaking the words of the Lord to you, they are prophesying to you. Don't despise that. So when you come to a sermon and you hear things about love and about harmony and you hear about needing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can't do it on your own, that you need to be seeking, actively praying for and desiring the indwelling, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you hear all that, don't despise it. Don't think little of it. Don't just say, "Pitchfork, that must be for someone else." Listen to the voice of God speaking to you and begin to seek ways to practice it and to walk in it. Don't despise the word of the Lord. Whether it's coming to you in a Sunday school class or whether it's coming to you in a sermon or whether it's coming to you through the radio as a song speaks to your heart or whether it's coming to you from your husband or from your wife or from your children. You know, sometimes your children will tell you the voice of God. I mean, they will tell you the word of the Lord, and it will hurt. It will just go right to the soul, and you're like, "Oh, man." Don't despise it. Don't think little of it. Listen to it. Take it into account and take action upon it. But test everything. Test everything. Don't listen to every voice that you hear in your head. Some of you really need to hear this word because you have some seriously misguided voices going off in your head. Things that you've heard, things that you've learned, things from the past. Don't listen to those. Test them to make sure that they are in obedience to the word of the Lord, to the word of God. Abstain from every form of evil and cling to that which is good. But once again, I want to come to this, and this is my close. To you all. You cannot do this, okay? Do you understand me? I'm speaking to you. I'm not speaking to the person behind you. I'm not speaking to the person beside you. You cannot live this life. It is impossible. Do you understand that? You got it? Okay? You need to own that. You need to accept that because until you do, you will not seek the indwelling, empowering presence of God to help you, to enable you. Because guess what? Though you can't do it, He can. And He promises He will. If we will purpose to walk with Him and to allow Him to guide our steps. And to direct us. Then He will do it in us. He will do it through us. He will accomplish it And that's what this is. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, holify you, make you completely holy, make you completely what he wants you to be. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming. Now I just want you to think for a second about this morning. How blameless have you been? Lord, help. Because my thoughts haven't always been what they ought to be. My actions haven't always been what they ought to be. I'm just talking about this morning, right? Maybe some of you drove into work today. I mean, drove into church today. And it's just really tough. But God himself will keep your spirit and your soul and your body blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, he who calls you is faithful. Have you ever had a faithful friend? Someone that no matter what you do, no matter how bad you feel, no matter how hard it is, they stand beside you, they love you, they hold you, they care for you. Have you ever had one of those? Now, I have one up there, but I also have a beautiful bride who has done that for me in my lifetime. I realize that it's not always that way. I realize that not everybody has experienced that, but I've been blessed to have a horizontal reflection of the vertical truth that God will never leave you, will never forsake you, will never abandon you, no matter how bad you are. He loves you, and he cares for you. And he is faithful. Every time you say, Lord, I just fell flat on my face again, he says, I know, my child. Here, let me help you out. Let's continue this journey together. Because you see, God loves you more than you love yourself. God loves you more than you know. And he is faithful. And he will do it. If you rest in him and if you trust in him, but you have to let him. As long as you're trying to do it on yourself, have you ever had a child who said, I do it myself? Okay. And the parent steps back and the child falls flat on their face because doing it myself doesn't work. There are things that are just too big for us to do. But God the Father is there to help us do it. Through the tangible presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the indwelling reality of the Spirit that walks and lives and breathes within us. Amen. Praise God for that. You see, but you have to ask it. You have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to seek it. And it has to be intentional. And so you have your decision cards and you can make intentional decisions. And I would pray that you do. We have a great closing song, but we're not going to sing it because Pastor Jesus and Maria are already here. And I want to allow them to start getting ready for their service. So if you would, stand with me as we pray. Father God, we have heard your word today. We've been encouraged to walk in relationship with you. To come to you through the person of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he paid on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We thank you for that great gift. And Father God, we come to you acknowledging that we are weak. And that we can't do it on our own. But we trust that you will help us. That as you walk beside us, as you journey with us, as we listen to you and as we follow your lead, you will take us to places that we never even dreamed imaginable. And that you will turn us into people that are radiant, shining images of your glory here and now in this world so that our world can see you. Lord, we can't visualize that. We can't see that with our own eye. But Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit at work within us, it can be. And so, Father, we ask humbly, brokenly, with confession and with repentance. Would you just fill us anew? Would you wash us and would you cleanse us? Would you empower us so that we can be all that you made us to be? Father God, accomplish your work, accomplish your will in us, so that the world that you love so much that you died for, would see Jesus in each one of us and through us as a whole. For it's in your name, the name of the one true living God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and through the power of your Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that we make these prayers and petitions to you. And so right now, God, we just say thank you, because you will do it. You are faithful, and you will do it. And all God's children said, amen, amen, which means, so be it. God bless you as you go.